Welcome to the Global Business Women's Pod, hosted by the Greater Houston Women's Chamber of Commerce. I am Susan Dyson and extremely excited to be your podcast host. In my day job, I am proud to be the CEO, president, and founder of the Chamber. Every Thursday at 6 p.m., we will bring you inspiring stories of women who are leading in the advancement of women and girls. We will take you with us to our premier events. You will meet entrepreneurs, executives, and philanthropists who will empower and inspire you to succeed. So please mark your calendars and join us for the Empowering Global Business Women's Pod, Thursday at 6 p.m. So now we have a wonderful treat for you. Please welcome to the stage Houston's resident body language expert, Jan Hargrave. Jan is also in demand as a public speaker and author of Let Me See Your Body Talk and other body language publications. Working as a consultant and corporate trainer, Jan continues to inspire many leaders of today's major corporations. Her leadership in the American College of Forensic Examiners provides practical tools to legal associations throughout the country. Jan's expertise regarding witness preparation, jury selection, and interrogation tactics is frequently requested by the United States military and the military forces and foreign governments. Please welcome to the stage body language expert Jan Hargrave.
I want to start off by giving you some percentages about this whole world of body language. It is said in our research that 55% of a person's communication is nonverbal, 55%. So that is why the first time you see someone, you say to yourself, do I like them? Do I trust them? Do I even want to have a conversation with them? That is 55% of our communication. 38% of a person's communication actually comes from their voice inflection. So just when your voice goes up or down, that also keeps people interested in what you're saying. And then research says that only 7% of a person's actual face-to-face communication does come from the words that they say. I know you've heard the old saying, actions speak louder than words. We say an awful lot about ourselves from the way that we tilt our head, from the way that we use our hands. And I'm going to do something with you, I think, that is quite interesting and fun. Many days I do work in the courtroom, and then I watch people do this. They will raise their right hand, and then they say, I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I have gotten to where I watch the way people lift their hand, and I can tell you if they're going to tell us the truth or not. So just as an experiment today, I'd want you, wherever you are, just to raise your right hand and just pretend that you're in the courtroom. So let's everybody do it, because I can see some of you. And the key thing is this, I need you to freeze your hand. Just freeze it. Because I will tell you a few things that I see. Some of you may not like hearing some of the things that I tell you, but I'll tell you what each one says. So typically, we look for five things. Some of you are probably this way. Look how wide apart my fingers are, and look how rigid my hand is. I will tell you what this says about your personality. Some of you have your hand up and your fingers are really tight together, so I'll tell you what that even says about you. Probably some of you are bending your fingers forward, so I'll mention that for a minute too. Probably some of you may have two fingers together and two fingers apart. Now, I would be worried if I'd see you this way in the courtroom. And then some people do this. They will lean the hand completely backwards. So keeping your hand just as you raised it up, I'll tell you what each one of these says. This is the very first, but look how rigid my hand is. Look how wide apart the fingers are. When someone is in the courtroom and their hand is this way, this signifies that they are terrified and they will tell us the whole truth. So if ever you need to go just this way. Second one is equally as good. My hand was up, but my fingers were really tight together. This is a good one. It is labeled an analytical honesty. This person will tell us the truth, but we will have to pull it out of them. In the third one, I bent my fingers forward. Do you know that anytime someone bends the fingers forward in the courtroom, it says that they will probably try to lie to us. So you may want to check on your hand right now. And this would be a good experiment for you to do with your family members this evening when you're talking with them too. In the fourth one, I had two fingers together and two fingers apart. But think about what I originally said. Whenever fingers are wide apart, that's a readily type of honesty. And then when fingers are tight together, this is an analytical honesty if the hand is straight up. So these types of people give us both types of responses, and they're really difficult to work with. And then lastly, I bent my hand backwards. When someone does bend the hand backwards this way in the courtroom, it says that they will bend over backwards to get us to believe them, but will be typically telling us a lie. Now you can put your hand back down. And the funny thing about understanding some things about body language is this evening, maybe when you see your spouse or your children, you can say to them, now, what have you been doing today since I have been gone? And as they respond, just say to them, can you finish telling me that and put your right hand up and look to see if it's this way or maybe it's going to be this way. I have been doing this a number of years. I think now it's almost 20 years. I originally taught this in college. That's how it happened for me. I had done my graduate work in the field of body language and then began teaching attorneys. But all of the work that we teach for attorneys on how to spot liars and truth tellers and confidence and nervousness, all of that is exactly what we do in the business world, because confidence gestures in the courtroom are still going to be confidence gestures in the business world. Deception gestures in the courtroom are still going to be deception gestures in the business world. So I think it's kind of interesting that we understand this. And even though we've gone through and now have a lot of virtual conversations, you are still communicating a message to another person on a virtual screen. And I think it's more important than ever because you're still having to connect with an individual. I mean, last year, before last year, when we had COVID, all of us could be in person. We could shake someone's hand. We could tell if we thought they were confident or nervous, but we cannot do that anymore, but you can still make the connection. So I'm going to give you a few hints today on how to effectively use your nonverbals to display confidence and not nervousness and maybe acceptance and professionalism, even though you're on the virtual screens. So let me just give you a test of maybe 4 or 5 gestures. And I want, as you watch me do the gestures, just to tell me if you think these are true, think these are false. Now do this for number one. Let's say that you're in a meeting and you're watching someone listen to you. And as the person listens to you, let's say they're doing this. Let's say they take their right hand and they just slowly, slowly rub on the chin this way. So for question number one, I'd simply say, when a person does this and he is listening to you, this is a gesture that says that he is seriously contemplating what is being said. Do you think that that would be true? Do you think that that would be false? And I'm going to keep that one in, but I'll explain those as I go on with my lecture. Let me try this for number two. And two is a bit frightening, but let me see what you think about it. It goes this way. People who tend to use their left hand a lot tend to lie a lot. Do you think that that would be true? Do you think that that would be false? Now, remember, I did not say people who are left-handed. Simply said, people who tend to use the left hand a lot tend to lie a lot. I'm going to keep that one in there for you. I always like to throw this one in for number three. It's quite comical, but goes this way. If you are watching a man and a woman in a casual conversation, and while the man and woman are speaking, the man begins to pull up his socks. So for question number three, I'm just going to say this. When a guy begins to pull up his socks during a casual conversation with a lady, it usually indicates that he would like to ask that lady out on a date. Do you think that that one would be true? Do you think that that one would be false? Because there's a whole part of body language between lovers and relationships. So I'm going to keep that one in for you. And let me just ask you this for number four, because four is a very important one, and it does teach you some basics about body language. Let's say that you're talking with someone, and I just want you to kind of watch my hands for a bit, because I know that when you're speaking, look what happens. Sometimes you're talking and probably your hands go away from your body. And sometimes you're speaking and maybe your hands come back towards your body. Probably some of us have even said, if I could not use my hands, I could not even speak. I will clarify that before I even ask you question number four. It is perfectly okay to use your hands when you're talking. And let me teach you a little bit about psychology of motion right now. Anytime you're going to move your right hand, or for that matter, anything that you move on the right side of your body, your right hand, your right arm, your right leg, your right eye, any motion that you move on the right side of your body, that's going to always be controlled from the left side of our head. In our left brain, that's the analytical side. It is the factual side. It is the numerical side. Our timetables are located here. If you are multiplying something inside your head and you have trouble getting the numbers multiplied, you would end up moving your right hand. It would help clarify what you're saying, and then finally you could answer the question and logically give an answer. Anytime you move your left hand or anything on the left side of your body, any motion that you do on the left side of your body, that is controlled from the right side of your head. And our right brain, this is the fun side. This is the comical side. This is the side that daydreams. If ever you drove somewhere and you cannot recall how you got there, you drove there driving right brain. But I want to help you understand why your hands move. Look, your hands move to help you get information that is controlled or kept right here inside this huge thing called a brain or called a computer outside of your mouth. The motion of your hands tell me about your sweet little personality, and the motion of your hands helps you organize thoughts to get them out of your mouth when you're actually speaking with someone. So watch how number five would go. Let's say that you're talking, and you do notice. You're noticing your hands are going out, your hands are coming back to you, and then you notice that you would do this. You would put the tips of your fingers together at about chest level, maybe say another word, your hands come out again, then you're noticing you're doing this. This is my question for number five. When a person does this and they're talking or they're listening, this is always going to be associated with the person who is displaying confidence. Would you think that that one would be true? Would you think that that would be false? And I'm going to answer number five. In fact, before I catch one, two, three, and four, number four, before I go back and catch one, two, three, I'll let this be the very first gesture I teach you today. This gesture in body language, it is called exactly what it looks like. Look, it's called a steeple. And do you know that steepling is one of the largest signs of confidence that I could ever teach a group of people? Anytime you're watching someone speak and they're going to do this kind of gesture, it is always, always associated with the level of confidence within them. And I don't have to see the steeple gesture done with all my fingertips together. I could simply watch someone put the pointer fingers together, maybe talk with me, put their hands down this way. I could watch someone put the thumbs together, put their hands down. Anytime you're going to see this kind of formation, it is always, always associated with the level of confidence that that person is feeling. And this is what our research in body language does tell us. When someone is steepling at chest level, it means that they're confident with what they're saying. When someone is steepling in lap level, it means that they're confident with what they're hearing. So that kind of gets complicated, but I want to give you a few gestures that perhaps you can use during your virtual conversations to make sure that you're doing the right thing, because everything you do during your virtual conversations are magnified. So if you toss your hair around too much, after a while it gets distracting to another person. In fact, that is what we label as a displacement gesture. People typically do gestures that are not necessary gestures when they're very, very nervous talking with you. Maybe someone scratches the neck here. That is called a displacement gesture. Someone constantly pulling on their clothing, that is a displacement gesture. Someone picking pieces of imaginary lint off of their clothing, that is a displacement gesture. Any gesture that is not necessary when you're talking. So now during these virtual conversations, your gestures have to almost be logically planned to make sure that you give a person the correct message. And one key thing I can tell you during virtual conversations, you have to sometimes let people see your hands. You cannot have a virtual conversation and let them see just the top of your face. That does not give the true indicator of what you are and who you are as a person. And let me show you and teach you why that it's visible that you show your hands. Not crazy hands, but every now and then you can show size with your hands. You can count with your hands. And I think during virtual conversations, it's almost better to do your hand motions on the side of you, because if you're doing them in front of you, your hands get look like they're too large. So if you're counting, you can say number one, number two, number three. Every now and then you can kind of bring a hand in front of you, but you never want to use them too big or too crazy. They kind of stay here between your chest and your waistline and probably between your two shoulders. And then you can kind of gesture, because in body language, upward facing palms always indicate acceptance. So if you're asking for someone or you're asking for them to do something for you, you're talking with them, it is always wiser that you approach someone with your hand facing upward. Hands facing upward say, I like you, I accept you. Hands facing downward are really controlling gestures. So if you're in these virtual screens, you never want to be with your hands facing downward the whole time. The best would probably be this way in a 45-degree angle, not this way flat because it looks like you're begging for something. It's going to be this kind of formation here. So what I have found works the best when you're in these virtual calls is every now and then maybe you're going to do the steeple. Another one that's working now is, let's pretend that I'm holding on to an imaginary basketball and I'm just talking with you. And then as I want to give you the information, I will lean forward to you, almost putting the ball in your hands. That is a nonverbal gesture that says, I have this information with me and I will gladly share it with you. This was number one in your questions. And I said, if a guy does this or a lady does this when she is listening, it means that she is seriously contemplating what's being said. And that is true. This is a strong, strong evaluation gesture. So if you're wanting to show your hands just a little bit in your conversations, you can do this, but you don't want to do it the whole time that you're talking with someone. When someone does this, it's as if they're thinking, how much of this stuff should I really rely on? Men usually evaluate by rubbing the bottom of the chin. Women evaluate by putting a finger up and slightly tilting the head. So this is called critically evaluating. This is called boredom, so you never want to do that. This is called critically evaluating this way. And the reason that I think it's wise that you show people your hands when you're talking with you is that people trust you faster when they can see a few hand motions from you. And that goes back to the history of hands. You know, think of hands. I mean, hands gave birth to you. Probably hands held you when you were young and you were hurt. You probably married someone, you held their hand. But hands can also harm a person. Hands can hurt you. Hands can almost kill you at times. So without you noticing it, subconsciously when you greet someone, you're thinking, where are their hands? Where are their hands? And when you can see their hands, you feel safe around them. That's why you hear a police officer say, show me your hands. It is the same way when we're greeting someone. We don't think about it, but it's behind our mind the whole time. So that's why, of course, we had what we shaking of the hands. I think we're going to get back to that. In fact, shaking of the hands, this was an old adage that when someone did this to you, it was as though they were thinking to themselves, I have no weapon, therefore I cannot harm you. And that's how we come to now that we have that we end up shaking someone's hand. So while you're in these virtual conversations, think of ways that you can use your hands in a meaningful way, not really in a wild, crazy way. And also, as I talk maybe about arms and shoulders, arms are what we called, I guess, frames for your sentences. And when you're listening, especially when you're talking, you cannot sit there with your arms crossed in front of your body, because arms in front of your body is a definite gesture that says that you're not interested. And there's a right way and a wrong way to cross your arms. If I'm watching you and you're crossing your arms and I cannot see your fingers, that is very negative. It's as though you're thinking, I don't care what you're saying, I'm not even listening to you. The only acceptable arm crossing that we allow and teach in college negotiation classes is when hands and arms are crossed, but I can at least see some of, let me see if I can do it with this mic here, that I can see your hands and your fingers. This one is okay, and even only one hand showing is okay. I'm kind of doing it not quite right, but if you're going to cross your arms, you must make sure that you have one of your hands and fingers at least showing, because when you're in that position, it's as though you are contemplating what is being said. You never want to cross your arms entirely and that I cannot see your hands, because that's giving me an indication that you're not interested at all in what I'm saying to you. And when we talk about the arms, we talk about the shoulders, I want you to realize, even in the virtual calls, your shoulder setting will set the tone for that meeting. If your shoulders are up and your posture is good, you're giving the message to them that you're excited about talking with them, that you're really pleasant today, and that you're really going to be active in this conversation. And you must remember that your shoulders need to be even when you're on these virtual conversations, because unevenness of shoulders for too long is indecisiveness of person. So you want to make sure that your shoulders are up. And I think the best way to make sure that your shoulders are in the back sockets is to think what we learned in yoga. In yoga, we raise our shoulders up and then we put them in the back socket. That's where they need to be when you're in these virtual calls. And the example that I think I could maybe bring home to you is that setting the tone for the meeting is done with the shoulders. Let's say you have a luncheon meeting with an individual and you get there after they have already been there and they're sitting at their table and their shoulders are all crunched this way. That's letting you know they're not that excited to have a meeting with you. So your shoulders, the way that your shoulders are, will set the tone for the meeting every time. So you must be on alert, because you're wanting to connect with that person and you're wanting to build rapport, as you did when you really were in person with an individual. Now, some gestures that you maybe should not ever do during virtual conversations. One of the questions I asked you was, if a person uses his left hand a lot, it might mean that he's being deceptive with you. That is a true sentence. It's not that left-handed people lie more than right-handed people. The only reason that the left hand is used for deception is that the left hand is controlled from the right creative side of the brain. When I'm getting ready to tell you something that's not true, it is coming up from my right side of my head. And because it's coming from this side of my brain, all of that motion, that's what occupies, or that's what makes the left side of my body work. So dishonesty gesture number one, I'll give you at least one that we note from courtroom work, that when we see this gesture, we're pretty sure that this person is uncomfortable and maybe not going to tell us the entire truth. Number one dishonesty gesture is this. Someone's getting ready to tell you something. They know that part of this is not true. So they will begin talking. Maybe they'll swing their left hand in front of you for a minute, and then they'll take their left index finger, and as they tell you their non-truth, they begin to rub up and down the left side of their nose. Typically, someone who's very nervous will do this. They'll go up twice with the left index finger and then come underneath the nose twice. When someone is doing that, it's as though they're thinking, do not fully believe what I'm saying to you, because I'm being quite deceptive with you. Now, the reason the left hand is used is because it's controlled from the left side of the face. And the reason that someone being deceptive wants to feel that they need to touch their nose is because, look, when I do this, what's really going on? I am covering my mouth. A liar tends to want to cover their mouth because they want to distract you from the wording that is coming out of their mouth. So they're going to try to distract you with fingernails, with rings, with watches. If you're in a conversation and someone has a nice ring on and they keep doing this and doing this, after a while, you're not paying attention and thinking, wow, that's a good-looking ring. So we tend to bring a hand here. It goes back to when we were children and said something that we should not have said. We tried to stuff it back in. So even as adults, when we're saying something that we should not say, we have that same tendency to do this, but now we're a little bit more sophisticated and the hand does come here. So there are many, many gestures, and I'll send you to my website. It's just my name, janhargrave.com. And you can get all the gestures of dishonesty. You can get all the gestures of honesty. I want to give you the one big, big honesty gesture. Honesty is done with the right hand, and the most sincere gesture we've ever recorded is this. I know that you've watched someone say to you, I had a great time with you, and you believe them. It's because they were doing the honesty gesture. It is not the same as when you're doing the Pledge of Allegiance. The pledge, our fingers are together. And the honesty gestures, our fingers are wide apart. So even during your virtual calls, this is a really good gesture to do. But you have to just recall in your mind, you have to show people your hands. You have to put your shoulders back. And you have to be as alert as you can be in your conversations with them. And I know people are having trouble now with eye contact during virtual calls. When you're in an in-person meeting, you have to meet someone else's eyes 60 to 70% of the time that you're talking with them. On a virtual call, that's pretty tough. But I want you, if you can, to make sure that you're looking at the camera when you speak, and then you can look at the screen when they are speaking, because the eyes that you connect with them makes a permanent connection between you and that other individual. And then I'll talk about the sock puller, because I did say if a guy pulls up his sock while he's having a conversation with you, he may be interested in talking with you. And that is true, true, true. That is one of the number one gestures of courtship that men do. Let's say a guy is talking with a lady, feels kind of nervous around her, does not know exactly what else to say. He will reach down and do this. And that gesture really comes back to when you saw maybe two guys talking and one said to the other, you need to see this girl. She will knock your socks off. You will never look at sock pulling the same way because it is a big gesture of courtship. So in just summary of everything that I said, I want you to realize that 55% of your communication is nonverbal. During these virtual calls, you have to be so aware and so conscious of what's going on and what kind of message you're sending out. And the common sense would be to do the things that you would do in a perfect business meeting when you're in person, do those very same things when you're on these virtual calls, and you will come off as concrete, as confident, and really as professional too. So I say thank you. Visit my website. It's just janhargrave.com. Wrote 5 books in body language. Make sure that you visit it and learn a lot more that you can about nonverbal communication. Thank you so much.
Thank you for watching the Global Business Women's Pod, brought to you by the Greater Houston Women's Chamber of Commerce. We cannot wait to see you next Thursday at 6 p.m. And remember, you can always find us at ghwcc.org.